For your information, I have already given the rolling finger to the next two speakers.
Okay.
And so, what we want to do again, show you some of the changes, some of the numbers that changed in the long range plan, taken out of the $100 million that we were going to borrow, walk above forward, the different things, and so forth, the changes, some of the numbers a little bit, and this will give you a preview, and show you the assumptions that we're going to do to prepare what we think the system rate will be. Jim?
Actually, you have to.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
This is supposed to be Phil's part. Again, this is our mission statement of our strategic plan. It's pretty self-explanatory. Go ahead. You've seen this map before. This is out of the 2011 water plan, and essentially the dark purple shows those counties that have what we'd consider in our business immediate need, and that by 2030 they have shortages, and we've talked about the lower part of the basin and the areas adjacent to some of the growth corridors. Touched on a little bit in our presentation on the system operation permit, where we are with our water planning. Beck talked about the legislative session. I don't think, again, this is a presentation we're also going to give Thursday to our water customers. So some of this, if it's repetitious, it's because we told them we're going to give them the same speech that we gave you. Some issues in our background. We talked about the commissioning, or the decommissioning, the state water plan, all that type of stuff. We are currently talking to our SWATS customers about potentially they're taking over that treatment plant. And then the bottom line here is that, you know, depending on who you believe, we're either out of recession or we haven't, and that we still see our local customers having to deal with, the municipalities especially, having to deal with fiscal stresses, reduced property values, reduced sales tax income, those types of things. And while those don't necessarily directly impact the water side of their operation, most of those entities kind of group everything together and say one tie, all ties. So we're seeing some situations there. Again, projects, we talked to you about system operation. Go ahead. Lake Granger intake, we borrowed $22 million from the Water Development Board, and that project is moving. John Hoffman just talked to you about the Carrizo Wilcox. And there's a map, a different map, but the same map. I haven't talked a while about the Corps of Engineers pool rise. Brad Brunette's been bird-dogging that. Go ahead, Jennifer. Little slide here. I think it's got animation in it. Nope, it doesn't. But pool rise is when you take the flood pool of a Corps of Engineers reservoir and allocate part of that for water conservation. Has special issues such as with the water staying higher more of the time. Does the dam have the structural capability of doing that? Most recent example of that's Lake Waco 4, 5, 6 years ago when they raised the pool elevation there 7 feet. John Hoffman can talk to you again about Allen's Creek. Go ahead. Lake levels, and we talked about this earlier in this little graphic on how that works. We're involved in a number of watershed protection plans basin-wide. These are water quality related. Tiffany Morgan, who was in here earlier, ramrods, all that. We'll talk a little bit at length about this. one I'd point out here, our repair and replacement fund 5-year report effective with our 2001 system bonds, the ones that you just authorized to be defeased. We have a requirement, go ahead, Jennifer, in the official statement that says that every 5 years we will retain a consulting engineer to assess what the value of that repair and replacement fund should be following their assessment of the facilities that are contained within our water supply system. We did our first report in 2006, set aside a little over $4 million in our reserves to address the potential issues that are represented by that report. It's 2011. We just took proposals or qualifications from engineers to update that study, and it will be underway shortly. And even though we defeased the 2001 bonds, that covenant is contained in all system bond issues, so the 2002s and the 2005s and 2006s also have that covenant in there, and it's pretty good. It helps us grade our paper. Homeland Security, you saw that presentation, or those of you on the Security Committee saw that presentation this morning. And that's my initial part. I'll be back to talk about the long-range financial plan, but here's John Hawes.
Okay. This is, of course, under the heading a preview of coming attractions. We'll certainly be bringing and sending out a detailed budget to you all in July, and then bring that presentation in late July. But just to give you some initial look at some of the assumptions we're looking at. Next slide. On the revenue side, this is, of course, for the next fiscal year. And you'll see in a minute on a schedule that sort of the projected system water rate for the next 5 years, roughly, we're looking at anywhere from 1% to 5% increase on an annual basis. And, again, you'll see that. On the non-system side for 2012, we are reducing the projected revenue there based on the LCRA water, the Alliance water. I'd mentioned that before in this year's budget. We had it in this year's budget. Have been unable to sell it to the customers, and so we're gonna take it out of next year's revenues. It'll also come out from an expense because we anticipate returning that water to LCRA. So on the expense side, it'd be coming out too. Lake operations, there's a little bit of an increase there due to an increase in recognition of some of our boat user fees and things like that. We've under-budgeted them in the past. Now we're raising that a little bit to reflect what we're really collecting there. And then a royalty, as I mentioned, the collection of that one-time catch-up on the oil and gas royalty, we're generating a little bit more royalty income, about $100,000 more a year there, so we're increasing the budget for that. Hydroelectric, of course, no revenue associated there. Management fees, slight decrease. We're expecting lower flows in some of our operations, wastewater and water operations, and so we have a slight decrease in some of the management fee that we'll collect next year. And then interest income, again, early this morning, you heard a lot of information about interest rates and economic conditions, and this is consistent with what Susan Anderson was talking about, that our projections for interest rates are very are conservative, but we think realistic for the next few years. They certainly could be a little higher than that, but we're not expecting a whole lot of improvement in interest rates in the next few years. You can see the divestiture proceeds, which we got, we invested them. We're only getting about 1% return. On the expense side, what you'll see in a minute on the schedule and what you received in your materials was really assuming a five-year index rolling averages, sort of an indicative type thing, saying, well, if the expenses are this, here's what the water rate increase will be. Now, we're working through the actual budget information right now, and we will not be higher than these numbers. If anything, I expect we'll probably be at these numbers or maybe a little bit less, but we'll manage toward that. But this just sort of shows you what the numbers, what the rate would need to be if the numbers are there. But a couple of things that will be in the budget. On the position side, we actually have one additional full-time position net in the organization. We have a couple of maintenance people at Lake Granbury we're adding, but we're taking out a superintendent position. So there's one net new position. It's actually a reduction in dollars. There's actually a savings in dollars from that. But from a headcount, there's one additional position. And there's a couple of part-time positions on a net basis that are going away. So really not much change at all in the headcount side. On the compensation increases, what we're projecting or recommending or expect to put in the budget that we'll bring forward to you is a 3.1% increase for hourly positions only for the next year. That is a cumulative total that corresponds to what the ECI, the Employment Cost Index, has been for the last 2 years in total. So it's this year, and then the catch-up of last year. As you all may remember, we've not had a pay increase in the two prior years. So that will impact the hourly positions, or approximately half of our organization is in hourly positions, and the financial impact of that is between $100,000 and $200,000 is the financial impact of that. But felt like that was the appropriate thing to do from a from an HR standpoint. Hydroelectric, you can see, again, that we do have some continuing regulatory things as long as FERC is around. We have some legal requirements continuing on our issue there that we budget for. Debt service, again, assumes the existing debt service that we have, less the payoff that you all just approved earlier this morning, the payoff of the Series 2001 A and B, which, if you remember, I indicated was about $700,000 less per year principal and interest. So that comes off of and helps us a lot in our rate setting. Capital improvement projects are in there based on just our CIP, and we're still very much working on the CIP stuff, and we will be in the next month or two, and we'll be bringing you again in July. You'll have more updated information on the status of the projects, but we're reprojecting those, and we'll have new information. Assumptions on working capital, or our reserves, if you will, balances, again, the PK divestiture, obviously the $50 million divestiture has already occurred, and that money we have invested. We still anticipate as part of the other legislative, I think it was House Bill 3132, the Set Ranch property sale. We expect that still to happen, but it's going to probably be a little later, perhaps even into the first quarter of the next year is our best guess at this particular point. And what that number will be is anybody's guess. I put a placeholder in the schedule that you've seen of $7.5 million that you can see in there, but that may not be at all what the number. It'll be based on appraisals and things like that is what it comes out to be. So that was just our best thought. And again, the defeasance, the bond, which I've already spoken of, obviously will come out of our reserves or our working capital to the tune of about $5.3 million, which again saves us $700,000 in debt service. Next slide. So what does this result in? It results in a system water rate revenue requirement of about nearly $20 million that we will need in 2012 to raise through our system water rate. As many of y'all remember, about 40% of our water sales, raw water sales, are at system water where we can actually adjust the rate. The other 60% are in long-term contracts that the rate really doesn't allow for adjustment except for some slight CPI types of things and stuff. They're pretty much fixed rates. But we can adjust the system water rate. You can see it's about contract units of about 310,000 out of the total of about nearly 700,000 of total water sales that we have. And that creates a required system water rate of $63.50 based on these assumptions for this next year. That is an increase of $1. You can see the current water rate this year right now is $62.50, and that's a $1 increase, which is the equivalent of a 1.6% increase for next year. And that is the projected rate at this particular point based on these assumptions. Next slide. This is the numbers. Now, I've sort of talked to the thing that just saying we're 5 year, and Jim's going to come back and show you a little bit of longer forecasting. But this is sort of the next 5 years. The first column, of course, is the current year we're in, and I just repeated put the budget down there that you all approved this last year, and then projected out 12 through 16. And again, it's consistent with what I talk about. The capital projects number, that line is still very much a work in progress. You can see, for instance, this morning I was talking about we'd only spend, you can look in column one under capital projects, it's showing $5 million. As you saw this morning, we only spent $1 million. We may not even quite get to $5 million, although I think we're going to catch up and do more stuff here, get more spending in the second half of the year, but we'll probably be under $5 million. But a lot of those are going to push into the next year, and that's why you see the $16 million. But that's certainly going to probably change some in the next month or two as we refine that information. And you can see the $5.3 million coming out from the defeasance of 11 and the divestiture proceeds and how I pushed the Set Ranch, the estimate, whatever that ends up being. I just put a number in there. But as to whatever that'll be, we'll probably be in 12. So you can see we have to maintain the net surplus or deficit. We have to maintain a certain amount in there that to meet our bond covenant requirements of our coverage test. We have a our bonds actually require us to have 1.1% coverage test. Our board, you all's authorization and direction is a 1.3 test, which the rating agencies in the bond industry really likes and helps us get a better rating and stuff to have us a little more coverage than is actually required under the bond covenants. But that's what that you have to create a surplus, obviously, with that coverage to be able to meet it. Next slide. This is the last slide I've got. And this is just showing what the system rate projection would be under those assumptions. Again, FY12 would be the $63.50, the $1 increase over the current rate. And you can see there actually is a bit of an increase out in 13, 14, and 15. But we'll be looking at some things to perhaps even mitigate that in the future, although that's not the it's really 12 we're focusing on right now. Some of the things we talked about where we might defease some of our debt is callable out in those years, and if we're able to take that debt out and make sense to use our reserves, we could bring down debt service in some of those years and actually take some of the pressure off of it there and perhaps bring that down. But anyway, that's a summary of sort of the next 5 years of what we're looking at, and I'll turn it back over to Mr. Forte here.
This is it's kind of a schematic model of our long-range financial plan and how the model works. What we do is we establish a baseline using the proposed budget, and then we put projects in it. We run the model, we being Don Perkins, who is on my staff, sitting back there by Dave Collinsworth. And Don gives me out the results, and we work through it until we've got everything in equilibrium. Next slide, Jennifer. One of the things that we sent a note out, I think, to you late last week about the fact that we don't have any more water to sell, even though our reservoirs are pretty full. And this is a depiction of our contracts portfolio. And you see the red line is the water that we have available to sell, and other than the 2,000 or 3,000 acre feet of water that we hold in reserve for the general manager, we have no water to sell. And the other thing to point out here is John's observation about the number of units we have under the system rate, which is the green line, and that the blue line is the contracts that we have that are not subject to the system rate. And you can see that out in about 2015, 2016, they cross. And that is the reason that we can have that 1% increase in the rate in 2016, and that about 100,000 acre feet of utility contracts that right now are somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 to $12 an acre foot convert to the system rate. And when they do, you take us over the 50% line for system rate contracts, and you have a tremendous infusion of income. Next slide, Jennifer. This is our 50-year capital improvement program, and some significant changes from what we showed you last year. Last year we showed you $100 million expenditure in fiscal 2011 for groundwater, and that's no longer reflected here. Last year we showed you a $1 billion expense out in the 2030 to 2040 time frame for the Millikan Reservoir. That project was removed from the state water plan and replaced by three off-channel reservoirs down in the Fort Bend and Brazoria County area. And those off-channel reservoirs are more or less assigned to water users down in that area. So we have not assumed in our capital improvement program, for example, that it's that they're our responsibility. We have incorporated the cost of decommissioning, and we've, for the purposes of this model, we've moved our Allen's Creek obligation out to 2017. So last year when we showed you roughly a $3 billion long-range capital improvement plan, now it's only $2 billion over the next 50 years. So next slide, Jennifer. This is just kind of a graphic depiction of it, but one thing it does show you is that for the next 20 years, essentially, and things are evolving, and John, as John mentioned, this is a work in progress, that our capital demands are very, very low. And so what we're about to show you is how we might be able to dispatch some of our resources to may take advantage of current market conditions and also position ourselves for these out years when project demands will be relatively high. Next slide, Jennifer. This is what we call our dashboard, and this is how the long-range financial plan kind of works. Upper left-hand corner is a forecast of our system rate. The right-hand corner, upper right-hand, is our revenues. I'm sorry, our reserves. The lower left-hand is our coverage test, and we are always balancing back all our scenarios to ensure that coverage is met. That's our test. In the lower right-hand corner is just a forecasting of O&M costs. And you look at the bars. The blue bars are capital spending. And the red bars represent when we would need to issue bonds. And you can see that as we're running the model right now, we would not issue any debt out until about 2024. We just don't have the projects to do it. Next slide, Jennifer. This takes the system rate slide, makes it a little bit more legible, because what I'm going to do, I'm going to take you through four scenarios of what could be an option that we have available to us based on market timing and conditions in the economy. You approved today the defeasance of our Series 2001 A and B. John mentioned earlier that there were other series out there. Go ahead, Jennifer. One more. Series 2002, $7 million worth of bonds are callable in August of 2012. If we did that, it would lower the system rate down to that red line. Next slide, Jennifer. It would have this type of implication on our reserves. Go ahead. Our Series 2005A is actually callable in February of 2012. If you did that one at its call date, it brings the system rate line down to that light green yellow line. But one thing I would point out to you is what it does is makes creates an obligation out here where, go ahead, next slide, you start drawing down your reserves such that when you get to projects out here in the 2024 time frame, it commits you to issuing debt. Go ahead, Jennifer. Series 2005B is callable in February of 2014. Same implications. It's roughly $10 million worth of principal at that point in time. And go ahead, Jennifer. Here's what it does for reserves, again, reinforcing that obligation that we'd have on us in 2024. And the last one that's callable right now is the Series 2006 is callable in February of 2015. That's almost $18 million worth of principal. And what it does, again, to the rates, and again, Jennifer, to our reserves, and you see that even earlier it brings us down. We like to look at our reserves in the $10 to $20 million range, and you can see that by doing that, it would really start stressing us in terms of how much reserves, how much liquidity we have, how much ability we have to react. We're not recommending any of these. We're just telling you that we have that tool in our portfolio right now. As we get closer to those call dates, we'll be watching the market conditions. Those refundings are probably going to be an opportunity for us. And when you reach that point, just like John was talking about earlier this morning, you can do one of two things, I guess one of three things. You can let those bonds sit. You can refund them by issuing other bonds, hopefully at a lower interest rate, or you can take our cash and defease it. And what we'll do is we'll work with our financial advisors and our investment advisors and determine what is the best alternative and bring it back to you for you to make a determination at that time. Again, not a recommendation, just an observation and analysis of what we could do under certain terms and conditions. Go ahead, Jennifer. This takes our rates out roughly 50 years, and you can see this situation here again in 2024 to 2030. And one more slide, Jennifer, and the reserves, and that's, again, that's what's causing those rates to kind of change. So we get down into some really, really narrow margins in terms of our liquidity, and you have to be building our reserves, and that would have some rate-making implications out in that time frame. And that was real quick. What we do in our spare time. But again, trying to make sure that we are looking into the future to position the Brazos River Authority to complete our mission. And be out of here by 3 o'clock.
Jim, thank you. Well done.
I think that there's a couple things.
you heard what the two directors said, what Lee Overstreet said. I think our presentation that the guys put together and took out to the people was outstanding. I'm blessed with an outstanding staff. They're awesome, and sometimes we don't argue, but they have the right to disagree, and sometimes they exercise that. But whenever I say let's go this way, well, then they jump in. Not all the time, but most of the time. So with that, any other questions?
What's the status on the gates at Blossom Kingdom that y'all signed some information on, as far as repairs and so forth?
Can I talk about it?
There can't be any deliberations. You can see the police status as long as they talk to
them. We didn't put it on the agenda, so we can't have that. We can't really make any deliberations because it wasn't on the agenda. We didn't.
Oh, no, it's fine.
But I think you can just give some update.
Bill, is the saltwater barrier still on the board?
Yes, ma'am. It's in the negotiation. We've talking with the Corps, and we're trying to get it funded. But right now, there's no new starts, and those are tough things.
It sure would help SysOps. That would help SysOps be turned. You might get somebody to back off from contesting your permit.
As we discussed in our letter last week, we have performed a structural analysis at the end of the case supplement, and the original analysis we performed in 1995 with new gates, when the new gates were designed. Those two gates that are there, the nine, were started in 95, and we just kind of finished them up. What we had, we were going to have a model that Mike was going to bring to show you. I was up there routing the gates Friday, Thursday, Saturday. But here's the thing and we've been very concerned about. There's been rumors a long time around that PKA is going to fail, and if this gets out to handle wrongly, in my opinion, the analysis has confirmed that the gate in its current condition will not result in catastrophic failure. Contracting does result in higher stresses on some of the elements, therefore repairs are recommended. So we'll be able to do it in-house. It's probably the study's gonna run around $50,000, and it may take $200,000 to fix it. And the thought is, what's happening is there's out on the end of the gates, whenever they pour them and bring them back up, the water pressure kind of forms them like a wing, the vortices over the wing, and it causes the thing to kind of flip and starting to crack. The good news was that it was our guys, and they even make mention in here in this report. Let me tell you, that's tight space. And so we would like to commend your staff for noticing the issue with the gate and bring to our attention. As you know, it's very dark and difficult to close the observation before the gate, and it could have easily been missed during the inspection. Our analysis this week has confirmed that these cracks are not as good to the gate in its current closed configuration. So we'll leave a couple of those to get it put across there. And I consider it based on this and taking the input that it was an emergency question we had with the government.
Just your power plant lawsuit. When are we going to get an update?
That's the Supreme Court and the power plant.
Still waiting. We filed our brief. With the board, we're just going to wait for them.
Other questions?
Good job.
Be safe.
Good meeting. Thank you very much. Have a good meeting.